Thank you, everyone. Turn with me, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 1. Isaiah 52 is going to be our text, where our brother just read for us, but that came from us being in Ephesians chapter 1 this morning. When I was studying Ephesians 1 this week, I read on into the next few verses. We went to verse 7 this morning, and I read into the next few verses, and I got to thinking about the mystery of His will. I just got to thinking about the mystery of His will in how He is going to gather us together in Himself. He said it's to an inheritance. That's what He said it is. It's a reward of glory. Verse 8, right here in Ephesians 1, verse 8, it says, wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will. He has revealed to us in the pages of this book exactly what He has purposed for us for all eternity, in eternity. The mystery of His will. In the same way that the Old Testament revealed the mystery of Christ's coming. You know, that was a mystery all for the people of the Old Testament. We know that He came. So we look at all of the announcements of the Old Testament. He's coming. He's coming. Well, sure. Yeah, He came. But all of the Old Testament revealed and declared the coming of Christ. But it was a mystery during that time of the Old Testament. It declared the events of the New Testament. It told exactly what would happen. The Old Testament told us exactly what would happen. The Old Testament said that a virgin would conceive. And she did. It said that she would bring forth a son. And she did. It said that He would grow up the sinless Son of righteousness. And He did. Said He would willingly give Himself. It said He would ride victoriously into Jerusalem to accomplish this. It said He would be taken from prison. It said He would be marred more than any man. It said He would be numbered with the transgressors. This perfect, sinless, spotless man would be numbered with the transgressors. And just dwell on that for a minute. This holy, spotless, perfect man. What a declaration. He will number Himself with the transgressors. It said that He would give His life a ransom for His people. It said He would rise the third day, and it said He would reign king forever. It told every bit of that. It plainly told all of those things, but men and women couldn't see it. You know that? They could not see it. Men and women didn't believe it, and many still don't, but the Scripture declared it. It was always there. And it was like everyone had scales on their eyes. That's what the Apostle Paul said. He said, it was like I had scales on my eyes. And they couldn't see it. On the day of Pentecost, whenever the Holy Ghost came, that's when Peter said, that's when it hit him. they were all in that upper room. And the Lord said, I want you to go back to Jerusalem and you wait for the Holy Ghost, because he's going to baptize you. He's going to immerse you into the things of God. And when the Holy Ghost came down, Peter, he said, you know, the scripture foretold all of this. You remember that in the book of Acts? He said, wait a minute. It perfectly told that all of this would happen. The Old Testament, the scripture, revealed the mystery of his will in all of this. It was always there. He said, now I just plainly see it. Well, in the same way that that's how it was with the Old Testament concerning Christ's coming, I truly believe that's how it is with the New Testament concerning Christ's return. I believe that. I believe the Lord has revealed to us the mystery of his will in all these things. He said he has. And I believe that he has told us things that one day we're going to realize. Wait a minute. These things that we read and are hard to understand. You know, Peter said some of Paul's writings are hard to understand. But we're going to realize it was always there. It foretold of the mystery of his will. Everything that would happen. We just couldn't see it yet. But what things that we can see right now, I pray, what things he has revealed to us in this, I pray he will reveal them more so. I want to see more. You know, the song says, more about the Lord Jesus. More of his fullness see. I want to see more. All of God's people do. And I pray what things we can see, I pray he'll reveal more of it to us. So verse 8 right here says, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. Everything is according to his good pleasure. Everything is according to his purpose. That's what's going to be done. And he said in verse 10, in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he's going to gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. He's going to gather us. He's going to gather us. He's going to gather us. He's not going to gather a form of us. Like I've told you so many times before, that's what I thought glory was. I thought glory was a bunch of spirits that you could kind of white and you could see through them, you know, and they just kind of floated. And no, he's going to gather us, not some form of us, not a vague memory of us. Yeah, I remember. It's vague, but I kind of remember that person. He's not going to gather a vague memory of us. He's not going to gather a different us. New? Yes. Better? Yes. Perfect? Yes. But different? No. Us. He's going to gather us together in one. One body, one assembly, one place, one moment in time. It's always going to be, it is. What time is it? It is. It just is. One. Both, he said, it's the people that are already in heaven, and it's the people who are still on this earth. He's going to gather all of us together in himself. Verse 11 says, in whom, or because of whom, also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Now that's what I want us to think on for just a minute. I titled this message, We Have Obtained an Inheritance. We have obtained an inheritance. Verse 18 here in Ephesians 1, it says, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. You think about this. God calls his people. God calls his people to him. And when he does that, that call brings a hope. It's a call to a hope. It's a call to an inheritance. And he said in verse 18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. What that means is he is seated on the throne. When it says that God set him on his right hand, that means the seat of honor. There's only one throne, and the Father put Christ on it. Verse 21 says, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. I was reading over this afternoon, and after I read that, I said to myself, let me repeat that to you. Read this verse again and think about it, okay? Verse 21 says, all right, he's seated. He's seated on his throne. And verse 21 says, far above all principality. You know, there are principalities. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Far above everything that's in that world to come. Far above every principality and power and might and dominion. Verse 22 says, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. This place of gathering, all right, we have obtained an inheritance. The Lord is going to gather all of his people to this inheritance. And this place of gathering, this place of inheritance, is the very place where Christ is seated on his throne. It's a place that is far above everything else. And Ephesians 2 says we are seated there with him. It's a place that is worthy of his glory. It's a place that is most definitely to the praise of his glory. Everything looks up far above, even in the world to come, to the praise of his glory. And it's far above all principality and power and might, verse 21 says, every dominion, every name that's named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. That is kingship. That's a kingdom. That's a kingdom. That's the inheritance. That's what he's going to, in the fullness of time, gather us to. All right, now, turn with me to Isaiah 52. You know, speaking of kings, earthly kings, king after king after king is recorded in the Word of God. You know how many kings there are recorded in the Word of God? For each one, it will tell, for some of them, most of them, it'll tell how long he was king. It'll say, you'll see this a lot in the Scripture, it'll say, and he reigned however many years, and he died. And then a new king comes along. It says, and he reigned however many years, and his time was over. And then another king comes along. It says, and he reigned, and that was it. Each one got a very small, passing, fleeting moment of time. And he reigned, and he reigned, and he reigned. But look here in Isaiah 52. Look at the last three words of verse 7. It says, thy God reigneth. Thy God reigneth. What tense is reigneth? Reigned is past tense. What tense is reigneth? It's right now tense. That's what it is. Right now tense. And it's also forever tense. Right now and forevermore, thy God reigneth. And this is the place where he reigns. All right, this right here is the place. He's going to gather together in one all things, all of his people in Christ. And when he does, this is where he's going to gather them to. This is what he's going to gather them to. And, you know, when the Old Testament said a virgin is going to conceive, a virgin conceived. And when it said he would ride in on a donkey, he rode in on a donkey. These words hold true. Now listen to this. All right, listen to this. When he calls his people, when he gathers, when he returns, when he assembles, this is what he's going to assemble them to. This is what he's going to say. Verse 1, it says, awake, awake, put on thy strength. You think about those words. We live our life on this earth here in weakness. We are so weak. We are so weak. We are so weak. Today especially, I've told you before, when we have these work days, I'm reminded every time how out of shape I am. I am zonked. I've been tired all day long. I am weak. I'm weak in the flesh. I'm weak in the mind. I'm weak in the spirit. I'm so, so weak. And we're going to live out our days on this earth weak. Weak in this flesh. Weak in sin. We're going to be so, so weak. But Christ has reserved an inheritance of strength for us. That's what we're going to inherit. Strength. And when the dispensation of the fullness of time comes, and it's time to be gathered into his inheritance of glory, this is what we're going to hear. Awake, awake, put on thy strength, which is Christ. He's our strength. And we're going to hear, in that moment, we're going to hear, go ahead, it's time. Put him on. Put him on. You know, don't you want to put the new man on, which is Christ? Why does it feel like we're always wearing the old man? I'll tell you why. It's because we're always wearing the old man. But one of these days, that old man is going to lay down, and we're going to hear, awake, awake, put him on. And I'm kind of excited. It's time. It's time to be in him. He went on to say, oh, Zion, that's who I'm talking to. Awake, awake, put on thy strength, O Zion. Watch this. Put on thy beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. From henceforth there shall no more come into thee the uncircumcised and the unclean. In Isaiah 61, the Lord said, I came to give beauty instead of ashes to my people. That's why I came. He said, I came to exchange the spirit of heaviness for the garment of praise. And that beautiful garment is the very perfection and the very righteousness and the very strength of Christ himself. And in that moment, we're going to hear, awake, it's time to put it on. Verse 1 says, awake, awake, put on thy strength, O Zion. Put on thy beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. For henceforth there shall no more come into thee the uncircumcised and the unclean. He said, sin is never going to touch you again. Never going to touch you again. Verse 2 says, shake thyself from the dust and sit down, O Jerusalem. Loose thyself from the bands of thy neck, O captive daughter of Zion. You know what that means? It means take a load off. Take a load off. It's over. He said, come on in here and sit down. You know, our Lord, after his work was finished, he sat down. After it was over, he sat down. And that's what God's people are going to hear. It's time. Come on in here and sit down. Take that band off of your neck. You're not in bondage anymore. You're free. Verse 3 says, for thus saith the Lord, you have sold yourselves for naught, and you shall be redeemed without money. For thus saith the Lord God, my people went down aforetime into Egypt to sojourn there, and the Assyrian oppressed them without cause. Now therefore, what have I here, saith the Lord, that my people is taken away for naught? They that rule over them make them to howl, saith the Lord, and my name continually every day is blasphemed. Therefore my people shall know my name. Therefore they shall know in that day that I am he that doth speak. Behold, it is I. He said, you sold yourselves into the most awful, horrible bondage of sin. But he said, I bought you back, and I didn't do it with money. Peter said, we were not redeemed with corruptible things, such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world for this. And he was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in him. That's our beautiful gospel. That's our beautiful garment of praise. That's our strength. Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord. Verse 7 says, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth. Who has brought good tidings to us? Who has published peace to us. Who is it that has published salvation for us? Here's the question. Who owns those beautiful feet? How beautiful are the feet? Who owns them? Christ Jesus the Lord. When Psalm 2 says, kiss the Son, lest He be angry, God's people know that means kiss His feet. Kiss His feet. Bow down and kiss His glorious, beautiful, precious feet. The feet that brought good tidings of good to us. I love the story of when our Lord went to dinner in a Pharisee's house one time. Don't you love how the Lord dealt with Pharisees? A Pharisee invited him into the house, and he went. And he sat down and he had dinner. And there was a woman of the city. There was a woman in the city who was of the city, a woman of the streets. And when she knew that he was there, and when she knew that he was her only hope, and her only Lord and her only Savior, she brought an alabaster box of ointment, very costly ointment. And it says that she came and stood at his feet weeping. And she began to wash his feet with her tears, and she did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and she kissed his feet. That Pharisee was... He was offended by that, and he said, if you're no prophet, if you knew who that was, you wouldn't let her do that to you. But that woman anointed his feet, kissed his feet, and this is what the Lord told the Pharisee. He said, she's with me. That's what he said. She belongs to me. This one's mine. You know, I thought about that woman. Can you imagine how much more she wanted to kiss his feet after that? He said, thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace. Verse 7 says, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth. Thy watchmen shall lift up the voice, with the voice together shall they sing, for they shall see eye to eye when the Lord shall bring again Zion. Break forth into joy. Sing together, ye waste places of Jerusalem, for the Lord hath comforted his people. He hath redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord hath made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all the nations. And all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. Where did he make bare his holy arm for all to see? On Golgotha's hill, the cross of Calvary, the place where war was staged from the judgment throne of God for the sin of his people. We're about to close with, up Calvary's mountain, one dreadful morn, walked Christ my Savior, weary and worn, facing for sinners death on the cross, that he might save them from endless loss. So verse 11 says, depart ye, go ye out from thence. Touch no unclean thing. Go ye out of the midst of her. Be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord. For ye shall not go out with haste, nor go by flight. For the Lord will go before you, and the God of Israel will be your reward. Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. As many were astonished at thee, his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. So shall he sprinkle many nations. The kings shall shut their mouths at him, for that which had not been told them shall they see, and that which they had not heard shall they consider. That right there is what secured God's inheritance for his people. That's what allowed God to gather all of his people to Christ. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. The next words are Isaiah 53. It says it pleased the Lord to bruise him. And as Ephesians 1 says, that was the good pleasure of his will. That's what he was pleased to do. Because of that, in the fullness of time, it's going to be said to all of God's people, awake, awake. I pray I hear that. I want to hear that. Awake, awake. It is time. Put on thy strength, O Zion. Put on thy beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. For henceforth they'll no more come into thee, the uncircumcised and the unclean. And upon hearing that, all of God's people are going to cry to the praise of the glory of his grace. That's how we ended the message this morning. That's how we end tonight. That's how we're going to end every time. To the praise of the glory of his grace. We're all going to say, oh, how beautiful. How beautiful. What joy. Amen. All right, Brother Eddie, you come.